Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, the Beatles. This is the song I picked for our next guest, Lori Lipton, because to me, she is like Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Lori, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you here.
Thank you so much, John.
I got to tell you, I've known you for a while, but I never really, I knew you were an artist, but I never really got into your work until recently. I saw Love Bite, and I was blown away by the amount of what the work you do with the detail. I'm a big fan of Salvador Dali. I think that whole surrealism and the way the
Can
let the
I
mind
flow.
Can I just
pull you up for a second?
Yes,
there?
Yeah.
Because I don't consider myself a surrealist.
Okay.
Surrealism is about dream imagery, and although I was a big fan of Salvador Dali in my 20s and stuff, but my work is more about expressing emotions and feelings and what's going on. So I would say I'm more like Goya.
Oh,
I mean, not as
yes.
good as Goya. I had a show with
I
Goya.
I think you're as good as Goya.
I had a show with Goya in London in the Cervantes Institute, and I had top billing. I just want to put that out
yes,
there.
Yes, and for good reason. Gang, if you're listening at home, go to laurielipton.com, L-A-U-R-I-E, Lipton like the T, L-I-P-T-O-N.com, and you'll see the work that we're now talking about. Amazing. There's one. I mean, so many pieces of your work moved me emotionally. One that did, there's an old woman, looks like she's seated with maybe five or six friends who are now skeletons, like Ladies Who Lunch, in this very Victorian 1920s garb. And I looked at that and I got emotional because where I went was I miss my friends who I used to have lunch with because they're all gone. They died. And this woman, her face was pretty much expressionless, but I was so moved by that piece.
I did Day of the Dead show before it was even fashionable. In fact, I was looking for a skeleton to wear for my opening. It was 2001. I couldn't find anything. It was in London that, because I lived in London for 26 years, and my mother had died, and a friend of mine, a Spanish friend, said, "Let me take you to Mexico for the Day of the Dead Festival. I think you'll like it." And I said, "No, thank you. No, thanks." I thought it'd be really depressing. And it was the most amazing experience I've ever had. You know, in a New York Jew, you don't say dead. You know, you don't say, "Oh, your mother has died." They said, "Oh, we're so sorry your mother has passed on," or "Your mother isn't suffering anymore." Or someone actually said to me, "That's life." So when I went to Mexico and there was death everywhere and everyone's making fun of it and it's a part of, you know, existence, and they were picnicking on the graves and talking to their ancestors, I thought, this is so healthy. So I decided to do a show, a New York Jewish black and white Day of the Dead show, because, you know, in Mexico it's all color and
very much so.
And I that was my first experience, and then it was so popular I did a couple of more Day of the Dead shows too, but it helped to emotionally connect with what I was going through with my mother's death.
Is there does every drawing have a story to it? I mean, is it something reflective of emotion you're going through? Or,
well, I usually do themes. Like the one I did with Goya, it was called The Sleep of Reason. And that's where Love Bite was from, because it was a takeoff on Goya's Saturn Eating His Children. It was a mother eating a baby.
A baby's head. Yeah. It looks like she's going to take a bite out of an apple, and then the revelation is that it's an infant.
It's so
head.
Funny. You know, there's a documentary film about my obsession with drawing, and it premiered at South by Southwest, and it was on a big screen, and the director just suddenly cuts to the image of Love Bite, and the entire theater went, "It was so good."
I think that's awesome. And I think part of it is because our culture, American culture, which is a mishmash of cultures, there's something about death that we want to avoid or not talk about.
It's failure. I mean, if you get old and die, it's like you're a failure. You have to be young. You have to be successful. You have to be healthy.
Right.
And people, you know, death is an embarrassment. It was really interesting when my mother died, the reactions I got. People were embarrassed. And a lot of people didn't call me or, you know, talk to me because they were afraid. afraid of upsetting me or upsetting themselves. It was a very interesting, that's why I did a whole show about it.
You know, the Disney animated feature, Coco, kind of brought some light into some of this. I think that actually, because I'm Mexican-American, and I'm very familiar with Dia de los Muertos, and of course, Hollywood Forever Cemetery does a big event every year, and our culture, death is just part of life, and we do believe, and we can still communicate, and I still believe my mom nudges me from the beyond every now
Thank
and then.
Thank God my mom doesn't, otherwise I'd be nudged to death.
Or nudged to death. But I mean, just because we're separated for the moment, you know, by time and space, doesn't mean that the love isn't still there. It's still there. Yeah. And so I think that's what's taught, at least culturally for us. But let me ask you about one of the other pieces. There's a piece that kind of looks like Donald Trump without a face.
I did a whole show called Post-Truth. It hasn't been shown yet, actually.
Ah.
When Twitler, I don't even want to say his name, when Twitler got elected, I needed to process the emotion. So I did a huge drawing called Post-Truth. It's like 5 foot by 9 foot.
Mm.
And it took me about 5 months to do.
5 months?
Yeah. Yeah.
The level of detail in your drawing is so amazing to me.
Is this the one where his mouth is just...
Yes. Yes, you're looking at it now, Jay?
Yeah.
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 Isn't that amazing? The level of like intricate detail.
So much detail.
It's so amazing.
And it's about the media. Also, there's...
microphones.
Microphones, but it's also, I've hidden all over the place, like digital codes that say everything I say is a lie. And I mean, it's, you got... Oh. So a guy bought my work, and 5 years later, he called me up and went, "Oh my God, I saw somebody under the table just now."
And more will be revealed. Okay, we're headed to break. When we come back, we're talking to Lori Lipton about her incredible artistry here on Channel Q. I picked the song Dreamboat Annie for you also, by heart, the lovely Dreamboat Annie, because a lot of your, we're talking to Lori Lipton, gang, an incredible lesbian artist, not surrealism, however, more modernism.
I guess it's symbolism. I guess there's no real word for it as yet. Maybe it's just Liptonism. I have no idea.
I like that. I'll call it Liptonism. I'll call that. A lot of these, the drawings that you make seem to me dreamlike. And some very dark dreams. And so, I mean, how do you come up with an idea? Is it just like something that festers in your brain?
Festering is a good word, but no. I think in images, and I thought that was normal. And my mother said, "No, darling, people think in words." But I actually think in images. So when I get an emotion or some kind of thought, it comes up to me in a whole image. So I'm always at least 150 images behind myself. I write them down. I write the titles down as I'm drawing. So I better not say this because God will curse me or something, but I've never had blocks of any kind. I can't work fast enough, really.
You've been drawing since you were how old?
About four.
Four.
So only about 10 years.
Since you were 4 years old.
Yeah, so that's like over 60 years exclusively drawing.
Yeah.
So I'm good.
I saw the documentary, and of course, one of the things in the documentary is your child's picture book. I mean, you have your early drawings as a child. And I was looking at it, and you talked about how your parents were so proud, but other relatives and friends were like, "What is going on with your little girl? This is like grotesque and macabre. What is this?" Right?
Instead of sectioning me, they praised me, which is very unusual for Jewish parents.
Yeah, but they were socialists, I think. Jewish socialists?
Atheists. They weren't either. I'm only Jewish by culture. I only knew I was Jewish because my grandma said "Oy Gewalt" a lot. Because there was no religion in the house whatsoever.
I want to approach this delicately, but I know some of your work was inspired by a traumatic incident that happened to you as a child.
Well, it wasn't inspired. It's how I integrated it. I always drew. I was always very good at drawing, as all children are, really. But then I had a traumatic, I was sexually molested by a man who escape from an insane asylum. Mm. It sounds like a gothic novel.
Like American Horror Story episode. Yeah.
And I didn't really understand what had happened. I knew it was bad, but my mother's reaction to it was the trauma, really. Mm. She had a nervous breakdown and tried to kill herself later.
Oh, no.
And so all this stuff was whirling around me. I went from Disneyland to, you know, Edgar Allan Poe land or whatever. It was like immediate, like total a breakdown of my world. So I started drawing a lot because I couldn't put words to what I was feeling, and it seemed to help me assimilate what was going on. And then I was allowed, I wasn't censored at all, because my parents could see it was helping me. So I was allowed to do the most horrific, amazing drawings for a child. You know, a child doing this stuff is very disturbing.
Right.
But I was able to just draw out all these incredibly strong feelings whirling around inside of me. And I've done that ever since.
You know, some of the drawings around Dante's Inferno very much resemble, your work resembles portions of what I've seen in the portrayal of hell or the different levels of hell.
Well, also, Dante was dealing with what was going on in his world at the time, and there's different levels of what, and that's exactly what I'm doing too. I am dealing with what's happening in our world at the time, and not only how it's affecting me, but how it's affecting, you know, the society around me, which affects me too.
Right. You and I are about the same age, and I think a lot of young people don't appreciate that there was a time in this country we were taught duck and cover.
Right.
That we were with the threat of nuclear war.
Well, now it's shelter in place.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. That's actually a very good point for active shooters.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Which is more likely than a nuclear bomb dropping on us. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and so some of your work, it seems like you take some of these dark images and you take them apart and then you reassemble them in different ways.
Well, the thing is, I've always been affected by powerful imagery and powerful music and powerful movies. When I go into a museum, I want to see something that speaks to me about what's going on, not just about my time, but about being human and alive and, you know, facing death, whatever. So those are the things that really, like Bruegel, like Bosch, like Goya, you know, those things. So that's what I want to give back. I want to give back. If you're looking at my work, I want you to go, oh, my God. I don't want you to go, oh, that's pretty.
Yeah, no, that was that was not my experience.
Or that's a nice polka dot. I mean, I just know. I mean, those things are lovely and nice and decorative, but I want my art, I want my music, and I want my films to be powerful. Mm. Being alive is a powerful experience. Mm. I want to reflect it in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Have you seen Moulin Rouge? The Roxanne Tango.
Right.
To me, is one of the most brilliantly composed musical moments in a musical, because it is about jealousy, anger, rage captured in dance and musicality.
Right.
And if you've ever felt jealousy, and I think most of us have, it's a human emotion, that song can just pull out so much feeling. And that's, I think, what your art does, you know. I was not involved with any sexual molestation, but I have felt some of those feelings in other life experiences, other trauma that happened.
Well, being a child is traumatic.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean, so confusing and you know, full of fear. And it's interesting, you know, I always ask myself when I'm in a museum, what makes a masterpiece? You know, art is very, very subjective. Mm. But isn't it interesting, like I went to Florence and I saw Michelangelo's David. And he could convey to me a feeling, an amazing feeling, centuries later, I'm this woman looking up at Michelangelo's David, and I am filled with awe, and I'm filled with, it's like seeing a piece of God. A good art is like a piece of God. Good music, good film, good books are like pieces of God.
Right. Gothic architecture was about reaching towards the heavens. That's what but Gothic art kind of explored, I think, a lot of darker themes around good and bad, good and evil,
they
divinity.
They were trying to scare the populace.
They did a good job.
Into behaving.
They did a good job. They did a good job, right? And so, one of your pieces of art has like a what looks like a 50s housewife, like almost a Lucille Ball character in a kitchen, but it is the most disturbing, unsettling image, and there's just something about it that makes me want to stare at it longer to figure out why I'm feeling discomfort.
I did a couple of those, and they're like 6 foot by 8 foot. They're huge. And, you know, I grew up in black and white TV with Aniya Bryant and the whole, the housewives with the pointy, you know, bras. And they're all having fabulous times in this technological age of, you know, cooking and cleaning in there, you know, and... So I've overdone the technology. I've like, they're dying in the technology. I've taken it to the nth degree.
You have a website, right?
Yes.
LoriLipton.com?
LoriLipton.com, and I'm on Instagram at LoriLiptonDrawings.
Yeah.
So,
gang, if you're listening, take a few minutes, go to this website. You'll see the incredible art that we're all talking about today. It's extraordinary. It was so nice having you.
Oh, thank you.
Chatting
Doug
on the show, Lori. I loved it. And I'm going to take you up. I would love to bring a couple of lesbian friends to come see
work.
Yes, you're all about having lesbians in your world. I know. Me too. Gang, when we come back, we'll be talking to Equality California about the upcoming U.S. Census and why it matters to you. Thanks for tuning in here on Channel Q.